Well, hey, everybody, it's Donna Partow, and really honored to be sharing with you on Christian meditation, a biblical approach. And I was almost tempted to say, I hope that Christian meditation doesn't sound like an oxymoron, which I think to some people it does, which is sad. That in this modern era, when we think of meditation, we think of the New Age, we think of yoga, as I found out in my Facebook groups. As soon as I said meditation, everybody started talking about yoga. I'm like, I wasn't talking about yoga, but there's just such a connection in our minds. And Eastern mysticism and Buddhism. And I think that's really unfortunate. And I actually think it's diabolical. I think it's demonic. I think it's a design of the enemy to rob us of something that God intends. And when we think of Christian, we don't immediately think of, oh, Christians, those are the people who can teach me how to meditate, right? And I think that's unfortunate. And I'd like to see that change. I believe God would have that change. And this is something that's been brewing inside of me for a number of years. And it was good for me as your teacher to spend some time just meditating, pondering this, looking at scripture, doing some research. It's been a blessing, and it's a real privilege that I get to teach. I love that. I love to learn and sort through things and hopefully give you the minimum effective dose, right? Everybody's busy, and I've been working on getting better at that, which is why I need to dive in. The minimum effective dose. Donna, just tell us what, you know, don't chit-chat. We're busy. Just give me what I need and let's get right to it. And that's what we're going to do. But we need the Holy Spirit, right? So Holy Spirit, come. Would you come, Holy Spirit? And I know that maybe there could be some opportunity for misunderstanding here tonight. There could be an opportunity for confusion or miscommunication. And so I need you to set a guard over my mouth so that every word that I say is on point, on the mark, and most of all, that you can minister directly to each hearer and customize. So just come in power right now. Fill me. Thank you, Lord. Just fill me with your, fill this time with your presence and your power. That's what we need more than anything. Amen, amen. Christian meditation, a biblical approach. Now, why isn't the church the meditation pros? Why aren't people knocking down our doors to get in and find out how it's done? See, meditation is all the rage in the world today, yet the church seems to have largely abandoned the practice. I know that's a generalization, but I think it's generally true. Science is catching up with scripture and discovering the why to behind this recurring command of God. And that's why people are flocking to it. They're beginning to understand, wow, this is really, really important. An important, vital practice. And I think in the church, we have allowed fear, which really should have no place at all in our lives. We've allowed it to rob us of this incredible blessing. And I think it's time for the body of Christ to reclaim biblical meditation and enjoy all of the physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, and practical, and even financial benefits that it brings. How many of you know that when you're thinking clearly, everything goes better? Yeah, life works. And that's what blessing is. Blessed. Blessed means your life is working. And when your mind is clear and you can focus, life works better. Now, there are three keys I'd like to look at tonight. And there are probably more, but I want to look at three in our time together. Three keys to unlock the mystery of meditation. The first is imagination, and I did a whole teaching on that. I did like a full hour on the imagination in our last chapel session, and at some point I'll probably make that available for sale separately, and I'll do a recap of it in just a minute. And then the second component is breathing. And then third is the meditation itself. And I've put together a 7-step meditation process, which I really feel is from the Lord. And I'm excited. So it's like it just dropped down on me. It's like, wow, okay. I just put seven-step meditation process, and I had no idea what the seven steps were. But now I think we know, so it's going to be really kind of cool to do this together. Imagination defined, the faculty or action of forming new ideas, images, or concepts. How many of you recognize that you would have a cutting edge in any area, as a parent, as a spouse, as an employee, as an employer, as an entrepreneur, as an influence shaper, as someone who wants to conquer one of the seven mountains, in any area? If you have the ability to come up with new ideas, new concepts, new images, to be on the cutting edge, to get there early, that's going to make life better. And here's what the Bible tells us, Hebrews 11:3. What is seen was not made out of things which are invisible. It started in the invisible. Faith claims a promise from God, then imagines a future in which it is fulfilled. This is a recap of my prior teaching. Now, that powerful vision becomes the fuel propelling us to do what? To take the steps of obedience in the direction of our destiny. That's the power of it. Those who by faith can imagine better days ahead, those are the people who will find the internal motivation to obey even when they don't feel like it. I will, not I want, will change our lives. So you can want things until Jesus comes back. And it's not going to really change anything. It's I will. Thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. And I will get my will in alignment with your will. That's what changes things. Imagination is practical too. Our mind's reticular activating system, it's that portion of our brain that tells us what to ignore and what to pay attention to, because if we paid attention to everything all the time, we'd have a nervous breakdown in 24 hours. So our mind does us a favor and it tells us what to notice. So when you imagine what God has promised to do actually unfolding in your life, it gives your brain something to focus on. It gives it like a homework assignment. And your brain's like, oh, okay, that's what you're believing God to do? That's what you've just said that you have faith for? Well, let me begin to watch and to bring to your attention steps of obedience. This is the piece some of us miss. The steps of obedience and the resources and the people and the books and the sermons and the audios and the videos and the tools that you need to begin turning that imagination, that vision, that thing that you're praying and believing for into your actual reality. It's a combination. And then the steps to obedience are made plain to us. It's obvious what we need to do. And now let's look at breathing. This is your brain on breathing, okay? Every breath you take affects your entire body in more ways than you can imagine. The fight or flight mode, let's talk about that. When we're anxious or afraid, we automatically take shorter, faster breaths. When we develop the habit of taking short breaths, if you become a shallow breather, then our brain wonders, well, what are you anxious about? And what does it do next? It looks for things to be anxious about. That's your brain's job, to make sense of your life. And when you're like, short breath, anxious, afraid, your brain's like, okay, what are we afraid of? Is there a snake? Is there a howling dog? Is someone trying to kill us? Why are we afraid? And it will find things. It will find. Seek and you will find. This is why if you notice everything that's wrong around you, you're probably a shallow breather. Shallow breathing can contribute to any chronic condition, including autoimmune diseases, heart disease, even cancer. Let me make it easy for you. Any stress-related issue, and at least 70% of all medical problems in the Western developed countries are stress-related. Okay. Any stress-related issue can get worse or better depending on how we breathe. Someone was asking, well, what are the benefits? Why does meditation matter? Is anybody getting a revelation? And we're only on slide 3. The simple practice of deep breathing alters your brain chemistry in very fundamental ways. Daily practice in proper breathing diminishes the power of that perpetual fight or flight, stressed out way of living. And some of us, and I'll put myself right in there with you, have spent decades in fight or flight mode. It's the adrenaline junkies among us. And some of that is attitude, some of that is habit, but some of it, I'm telling you, it's physiological because of the shallow breathing. Your body thinks you're in fight or flight mode and it releases a never-ending flow of adrenaline in response to how you're breathing. That's why, you know, I'm not pro yoga, and I know a lot of you are asking me if I can do a yoga session in the future. But you ever notice that a lot of them are pretty calm? Their theology is not so good, but they're calm. And maybe some of them making better decisions than Christians on how to run their life. And you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. They don't have good theology, and we do. They don't even have Jesus. How are they doing that? Well, because they're not brain damaged. Their brain is functioning more effectively than yours. It's physiological, not just spiritual. You mean gravity works whether you love Jesus or not. And I'm telling you, proper breathing works whether you're a new age mumbo jumbo lost person who desperately needs Jesus, or someone who's been in church for 50 years and your great, 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 great grandma loved the Lord. The law of gravity and the law of proper breathing applies equally to everybody. Now, the contrast of you have two modes here. You have the fight or flight, stressed out, adrenaline, crazy, not thinking straight, panic mode, or the pause and plan mode. And of course, that's the polar opposite. The pause and plan mode increases your mental focus, increases your energy level, increases self-control. It lowers your cortisol level, and cortisol affects weight. Okay. It balances your hormones. It strengthens your immune system. Is anybody figuring out the benefit yet? And here's the thing. We can intentionally activate the pause and plan mode anytime we want just by the way we breathe. Wow. I mean, this is huge. When's the last time you heard a sermon on this? No, really. When's the last time you heard a sermon on this? How many of you know that a lot of churches are filled with people who love God and are freaked out, adrenaline junkies, crazy, stressed, and their health is falling apart? When's the last time you heard a sermon telling you that you could intentionally activate the pause and plan mode anytime you want, just by the way you breathe? Pause and plan activates the prefrontal cortex of your brain. The prefrontal cortex controls three aspects of willpower. And I think all of these are pretty important for a Christian, right? I will, I won't, and I want. Willpower is a muscle located in your brain. And it is strengthened by proper breathing. And more specifically, your willpower muscle is strengthened through meditation. Let's take a look at some of the benefits of meditation. That was just the benefits of breathing, okay? And that's just one aspect. According to researchers, meditation creates actual physical changes in the brain in the form of increased gray matter density in the hippocampus. The hippocampus is an area known to be important for learning, memory, and in structures associated with self-awareness, compassion, and introspection. So compassion is concern for others. There's also a decrease in gray matter density in the amygdala, which plays an important role in handling anxiety and stress. Neuroscientists have found that just 11 hours of meditation creates structural changes in the part of the brain monitoring our self-control. And I think she's here tonight, and I think she's going to share a testimony. Yolanda, if you're here, she's going to share a testimony later on. But when we did our 21-day challenge in our 90-day renewal, she took on the challenge to just pray in the Spirit an hour a day. And at the end of those 21 days, I mean, it's just amazing. It develops self-control. 11 hours. So if you were to meditate a half hour a day for 22 days, you would change your brain, specifically the part of the brain that covers self-control. And right now, can you think of three things that would immediately improve in your life if you walked in the fruit of self-control to a greater degree? I hope you have a pen and paper handy. Jot it down. I mean, we'd be hard-pressed to think of any area of our life that wouldn't benefit from greater self-control. Meditation is a gift from God. In view of the science, is it any wonder that God commands us over and over again to meditate? Is it any wonder that the enemy has done a masterful job of hijacking this powerful gift of God and turning it into a taboo subject in the church? The notion that Christians should steer clear of meditation might literally be a doctrine of demons. No kidding. I mean, for sure, if I were a demon and knew of something so simple that would have such a profound positive impact of the life of a believer and how this affects your testimony. How does it affect your testimony if you're stressed out all the time and unable to make good decisions, unable to think clearly, you're unhealthy, unfit? See, if I knew that, if I were a little demon, boy, I would go out of my way to talk Christians out of meditation, telling them it didn't matter. And besides, it's scary and you might get in trouble with it. But it is a scriptural command. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey. What's the purpose? Someone's like, well, what's the purpose of meditation? Here's the purpose of meditation. So you'll be able to obey. Guess what? When you have greater self-control, when your brain is clearer and you can think clearly and hear clearly, how many of you already can guess that that makes it easier to obey? How many of you can think of something God's told you to do, but you didn't do it because you didn't have self-control? Yeah. Meditate on it day and night. So why? So you'll be able to obey what you read. Only then, only when you obey, will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Okay, so why should we meditate? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should just end here and I should pray for some people. Why do we need to meditate on the Word of God? Because meditating affects our brain and makes it easier for us to have more willpower so that we have self-control so that we can obey what God tells us to do. And all God's commands are for our benefit so that we'll be blessed and our life will work, so that we'll prosper and succeed. That's why we should meditate. And this is the crazy thing. One of the top internet gurus on success, he's a success guru. 80% of the successful people that he has researched have a daily meditation practice. And a lot of them aren't even Christians. But because they meditate and it changes their brain, they have more self-control, they think clearer, and they become successful. Meditation leads to obedience for Christians. Meditation leads to prosperity and success for pretty much anybody. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. See, this is the difference between Christian and secular meditation, okay, what we're meditating on. We meditate on your unfailing love. I will meditate on your decrees. I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. See, the difference is not even just how we meditate, but what we meditate on. I meditate on you. I didn't meditate on myself or stuff I want. I meditate on God. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. That's a form of meditation. And what are all these things? They're the promises and the prophetic words over her life. And I have just been on this issue the last couple days, even just with my friends and accountability partners and some of my students in the 90-day renewal, just, you know, taking those prophetic words, taking those promises that God has given us you know, that have just jumped out of the Word of God for us, and just going over them over and over and over again and imagining our life. What is our life going to look like when those promises are fulfilled? What is it going to look like when those prophetic words come to life? Here's just five things that we can meditate on. And this is not a complete list. God, anything about him and his character, his law, his words, his attributes, his promises, prophetic words you've received. Let me define meditation. This is from the Bible. The Hebrew word number one is siyak. I'm sure that's wrong. I haven't studied Hebrew. It means to ponder, to converse with oneself, and hence aloud, to talk to yourself out loud. Do you talk to yourself out loud? Or to utter. Look at this though. To commune, complain, declare, meditate, muse, pray, speak. Did you notice that? You can meditate on the wrong things. And a lot of us do. Worry is meditation. You know, meditation is just playing something over and over in your mind, just kind of playing it over and over in your mind. And worry is the same thing. So is complaining. Complaining is a form of meditation. It's just a destructive form of it. And then Hebrew word number two is haga. Again, I apologize for pronunciation there. It's to murmur in pleasure or anger, to ponder, imagine, meditate, mourn, mutter. See, meditate, again, do you see meditation? It can be, how many of you have meditated in anger? Like, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said that. What's he doing? I can't believe what I put up with. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Anyone in trouble? How many of you realize, I meditate a lot. I'm just meditating on the wrong things. Uh-oh. Just a couple of biblical distinctions. I think these are obvious, but worth mentioning. Nowhere are we told to empty our minds. Okay. And that's kind of a huge difference. The Eastern the empty your mind. No, we are to fill our minds with the things of God. Our focus, again, is on God and not ourselves. We meditate on the word, the ways, and the will of God, not our own little fancies. Okay. And I heard this actually from Chris Vallotton, a sermon from a few months ago, and I thought it was really good. I don't know if you understand how Facebook algorithms work, or Google algorithms, how they work. But here's what happened. You type something on your laptop or your phone, or even if you say something in the same room with a laptop or a phone or any kind of electronic device, they're listening all the time. And you're just having a conversation. I remember this the first time I realized this, I was in Fiji like 4 years ago, and I was lecturing kind of, and I mentioned someone in passing. I had read her book a decade ago, hadn't thought of this author since that time, but I mentioned her in passing during a lecture I was doing Fiji. You're in the middle of an island in the South Pacific. I mean, you think you're off the grid, but my laptop was in the room. It was closed. And I went on Facebook, opened my laptop, went on Facebook, and there was an ad in my sidebar for that author that I had mentioned, because they're listening to you. But here's my point. He said that the universe is like one big Facebook algorithm. And again, it's, you know, you've seen Law of Attraction, you're like, oh, that's New Age, that's mumbo jumbo. And, you know, but they're onto a little bit of a truth there. There really is some truth in some of this stuff. Whatever you look for on the internet, it starts looking for you. And then you everywhere you go on the internet, there's an ad for that thing. Have you ever noticed that? Whatever you speak or type, it kind of takes on a life of its own and, again, starts following you around the internet. You were fixated on it. You know, you were looking for Easter baskets or ribbons and bows or black boots or dog food, whatever you typed in or whatever you were talking about. You were kind of fixated on that topic in that moment. But now suddenly it's fixated on you and looking for you. Even after you wish it was over, it's still there. And here's the key. We need to fix our thoughts on Jesus. And then when we fix our thoughts on the right things, on the positive things, then life is working. And we're not being, you know, do you ever feel like the same thing keeps happening? Like, why does this keep happening to me? Again, I don't want to get too far afield on that. I really think it's a different topic. But I thought that it was an interesting point to tie in briefly with meditation. We need to speak about him and type about him. And then the blessings of God will start chasing you around and tracking you down. And this stuff is scientific. It's not just spiritual. And maybe I'll do a future training, a third part on this, on how some of that works, but it's beyond the scope of what I want to cover tonight. But I do want to make this point before I kind of dive into my seven-step strategy. Whatever you focus on multiplies. It's just true. What you focus on draws more of the same into your life. If you focus on your failures will increase. If you focus on complaints, you will have more to complain about. If you focus on your blessings will multiply. If you focus on your faith will increase. And it is just true. And there's some science behind that beyond the scope of what I want to cover tonight. So now I'm going to take a sip of water. And I want to dive into the steps to meditation, a practical approach. Now, I used to tell when I used to teach a teaching on this, I used to tell people, if you take a little meditation with your medication, soon you will find that you need less medication. I'm not telling people to throw out their pills. I'm not telling you to throw out your medication. It may be something you know you need to take right now. Your doctor prescribed it. But since 70% of diseases are related to stress and meditation reduces stress, every day with your medication, take time for some meditation too. And soon, you might be very surprised. You go back to that doctor and he's like, you know, we can lower your blood pressure medicine. You don't have diabetes anymore. We can take you off that. Your cortisol level has, your hormones have stabilized. So let's dive in. I do have a scripture. This is from Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart, what is the eyes of your heart? That's your imagination, right? I pray that your imagination may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's the purpose of biblical meditation right there. So that we'll know the hope, we'll know the riches, and we'll know the power of God. That's why we meditate. Okay, here's my seven-step system. Select a scripture. Select a passage of scripture according to the vision God has given you. And there's a difference between an informative and a formative approach to the Word of God. And both have a place. Informative, you're reading the Bible to learn stuff. I'm having so much fun right now with the book of Acts. I'm completely out of control. My former pastor did a translation. He wrote it in Turkey, and it's really brings to life all the Turkish aspects of the book, and I'm just having too much fun. And it's so informative. I'm loving it. And sometimes we do read the Bible just to inform, but sometimes we need to go to the Word of God so that it forms us, not just informs us, but forms us and shapes us and molds us and changes us. And that's the difference between kind of Bible study, which is, you know, informative largely, and meditation, which is formative to reform and reshape us. And that was a broad generalization, but I hope it's a helpful one. And then take that scripture, take that passage, and I love to write it out. You know, if you're going to memorize, just write it out over and over again. That's why you want to take just a small little snippet here, small, that little, maybe the sentence. And a lot of you know my first letter trick, okay? After you've written it out a number of times, just write the first letter of each word and walk away and come back and fill it in. See if you can fill it in with just those first letters. Anyway, that's just a little bonus there. Then personalize it. And then rewrite it personalized. I'm going to show you this in a minute. Close your eyes and say it aloud. So that's step one. You've selected the scripture you want to work with. Again, you don't want a big chapter, which in the informative stage, I'm reading the whole book of Acts like every day. But in the formative, you just a couple sentences is plenty. One or two. Well, I would say one would be enough. Or even just a phrase. Step two is to still yourself. Find a comfortable place and position. You might want to sit. You know, do you have to fold your legs? I mean, I like to lay on the floor. I've got a rocking chair. I've got carpet that I'll lay on. Wherever you're comfortable. Be still and know that I am God. Notice what David proclaims over himself. I have calmed and quieted myself. This was a guy who specialized in meditation. I have calmed and quieted myself. That was his part. See, God has a part and we have a part. David had an amazing destiny in God. He had an incredible anointing and a kingdom assignment. And God had a part and David had a part. And David is telling us right here, right now, that part of our part is this. I have calmed and quieted myself. Do you do that? When's the last time you did that? Do you do it daily? I think we need to. Be still before the Lord. Zechariah 2:13. In quietness and confidence is your strength. Isaiah 30:15. And that's the verse I've selected. Slow your breathing. I didn't type it out, but in 4:3. Through the nose, hold it for 1. And out for about 5. Intentional. Why does your breathing matter? You are switching out of the adrenaline fight or flight mode to the pause and plan reflective mode just by your breathing. So it matters. It's not new age mumbo jumbo. It's science. So breathe. Breathe keywords in and out. Quiet. Be still. Be still, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Wow, how good is that one? Be still. My soul. For the Lord has been good to you. Step 3, show me, Lord. Ask the Lord what he wants to show you about this verse or phrase, about himself, about your life, about anything. Be open. Show me, Lord. That'd be a good one to breathe with. Show me, Lord. Don't force it. Don't think. Don't overanalyze. See, your brain is going 24/7 trying to figure stuff out. And figuring it out isn't faith. Figuring it out, trust me, I'm the queen of figuring it out. Figuring it out is the opposite of faith. So you can take 23 hours and 45 minutes every day to let your brain go crazy in fight or flight mode, you know, trying to figure everything out. But take 15 minutes, would you? Can you start with that? Maybe move up to a half hour when you give your brain a break. Don't overthink it. Don't overanalyze it. Just pray. Show me, Lord. What do you want to show me about this verse? And then quietly receive impressions God wants to bring. And I just did this. I mean, this just came to me today. You're seeing an example in real time of how this worked for me. God gave me this verse, and I'm going to show you what I did with it. If you are praying over an event in Scripture, let's say you're praying over the loaves and the fishes. Okay, you've read that in your informative Bible reading. And you think, you know, I want to take maybe a little part of that. Jesus gave them the loaves. Jesus gave them the loaves. Jesus gave them, gave to the disciples. Jesus gave to the disciples. Gave bread to the disciples. You could just take a little part of it. God may enable you to kind of imagine that scene very vividly, almost as if you're there. And some people are more imaginative than others, but you know, did anybody go see the Apostle Paul movie that just came out? I'm recording this live right around Easter of 2018, and the Apostle Paul movie came out. And it really was so powerful to see it on the screen, to kind of step into his life and hear the word of God visually portrayed. But your mind can do that. That movie didn't happen until someone imagined it in their mind first. So you can do the same. Imagine what would it be like to be there with Jesus while he's handing the loaves and the fishes to the disciples, and then imagine 5,000 people and they're distributing it through 5,000 people. Are they giving it to 5 people and then running back to Jesus and getting more and then running back to further into the crowd and then coming back to Jesus? And then have fun with that. Seriously. Imagine, read that passage and imagine it, what that might have looked like. Let the Holy Spirit lead. But, you know, I really want to say this. Do not fear using your sanctified imagination, because you have the mind of Christ. And step 4 is to see yourself. This one's huge. See yourself living as if this passage, the one you selected, as if the passage was fully alive and active in your life. Imagine what it will look like. What would it feel like, even smell like, when what you're believing by faith is identical to your reality? I hadn't planned this, but this is for somebody I don't even think I know who it's for. But imagine you're the one that Jesus is handing provision to. And you're the one going through the crowds, handing out that provision. Jesus is giving you literal food and water. And you're moving through the crowds overseas. And you're giving them food and water. Some of you imagine you're the one that Jesus is handing spiritual food and water. And you're moving through a crowd, even in a church or a high school auditorium. And you've received the basket from Jesus. And now you're the one going. And with that provision, you're feeding the hungry, whether it's physical or spiritual. Wow, that was just a Holy Spirit moment. And I want to hear who that was for, because it was totally for somebody. Wow. What if you really were quiet and confident? What would that look like? What would you look like? Picture yourself. Just pick any scenario. Put yourself into the middle of it, moving quiet and confident. Even you, go back to that distribution. You're quietly and confidently distributing the gifts that God has placed in your hand. You just got it from Jesus, and now you're giving it out. What would that look like? What would that feel like? What would that be like? Can you imagine? That's what faith is. Faith is like, I'm daring to imagine this thing that hasn't happened. By faith, I'm believing this is what God's going to do. And step 5 is Spirit-led praying. I want to be sensitive to the fact that we have many people from different denominations and cultures that come here. So whatever that looks like for you, but it is a murmuring. It is a murmuring of some sort. Clearly, it's some type of a murmuring. For some of you, that might be praying in the spirit, whatever that looks like. For some people might be praying in tongues. And in that case, brain scans conducted on people praying in tongues proved that it activated different parts of their brain, not the language center, not the figure it out center. Or you could just pick a word or phrase from the passage to repeat, quiet. And just do that, quiet, quiet, be still, be still, be still, be still, be still. However you want to do it, whatever you're comfortable with. But there is a murmuring, there is a repeating, there is a quiet over and over and over. And that does kind of, it does something to your brain. It's physiological. And it's good for you. It's good for your brain. It's good for every area that we talked about in the introduction. It's good for you. And the key is to avoid taxing your brain. Turn it off. Step 6 is to seal the session. Quietly take out your journal. I hope you have a pen and paper now. And record any impressions, sensations, convictions. I should have said revelations. Intentions that were revealed. I guess it's all revelation. I'm excited to hear from some of you because I really felt that God spoke through that loaves and fishes thing we just did. Thank God that His word is indeed living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing what? Soul and spirit. What soul? I want, I think, I feel. Figuring it all out. Spirit, faith, what you're believing for, what you're daring to imagine. Because God can do abundantly more above and beyond anything you could ask or what? Imagine. So maybe you should imagine more. And then thank Him for whatever He revealed about thoughts and attitudes of your heart. And then step 7, the last step, is to step in the direction. It's time to step out in faith by walking in the direction of seeing that word filled in your life. So now God's given you a vision. You've seen this verse coming alive in you. And now take a step in that direction. Practice being quiet. Practice being confident. Whether that word was that you would become more quiet and confident or that by faith you will subdue kingdoms, whatever it is, whatever passage you picked, live like you believe it. Jesus said, believe, you've already received it. He was trying to give us a clue about how the science of all of this works. Long before the secular people made the secret, Jesus told us the real secret. It's Faith 101. And now I want to do a little guided meditation with you. I've selected a scripture, Isaiah 30:15. In quietness and confidence is your strength. In quietness and confidence is your strength. In quietness and confidence is my strength. In quietness and confidence is my strength. Be still, my soul. Be still and know the Lord has been good to me. Rest. Peace. Trust. Know. In quietness. In confidence. My strength. Know. Just know. He is God. Show me, Lord, where is the quiet found? How can I find your quiet? Lead me to a quiet place. My quiet is in you. You are my quiet place. You are my quiet. You are my peace. You are my quiet. You are my quiet. You are my resting place. Father, I see myself now. I see myself sitting beside the still waters, resting in green pastures. You are my shepherd, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I see you giving me all that I need. There's nothing I want. There's nothing I need. I rest in you. I will 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 trust in you. I will trust in you. I'm quiet. And confident. Jesus, thank you that you're with me. I see you. And then pray in the Spirit. Thank you for the quiet. Thank you for the confidence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love you, God. Thank you, God. God is so good. If you can sing, sing, God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Thank you, God. You're so good to me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're so good. Thank you, God. You're so good to me. Thank you, God. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. And then seal the session. Grab a pen. Record any impressions, sensations, convictions, intentions, revelations. Thank God that His Word is active. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank Him for whatever He revealed. 7 is step in the direction. Come on. What did God show you? Come on now. List at least one step you need to take. This, what does meditation do? Does anybody remember? Come on now. Leads to obedience. And obedience leads to success and prosperity. So what are we going to do? Obedience is to listen with great intention and get so, you know, when God tells you what He wants you to do, I mean, you can't not do it. When you've heard it and it's a sure word from God, you can't not do it.
Christ's love compels us.
So list at least one step you need to take in response to this time of meditation on the Word of God. I want to mention resources from WEU, and then I'm really excited to see your responses. In fact, I want to just get some. Well, let me do resources and then testimonies. I'm excited to hear from those who are here live. And if you're listening to a recording, stop by our Facebook group. On Facebook, it's God's SOAR Team, and share what God did through this. But I want to mention one resource, 30 Days in the Presence of God's Power. It's an online e-class. You can discover the link between peace and power. How relevant is that? Between praying with power and authority. Peace leads to power. Power brings authority. Authority brings answers to prayer. In-depth teaching on prayer and fasting. There's a course workbook, comprehensive. There's 30 short daily videos. There's 4 teaching audios. And then there's 4 bonus webinars focused primarily on the subject of fasting. And you can go to donnapartow.com/power. donnapartow.com/power and get your hands on that. And I also wanted to mention an upcoming event. Talk about a place where you can really come and dream with God. We're doing the Lifestyle Freedom event in Costa Rica. Come to a place where you can get filled with fuel for your future, and you can go to 7daystofreedom.com and find out more about that. And I think that my partner in that program, Tamara Aragon, is here with us tonight. So let me hear what Tamara wants to share. Tamara, if you're here, you want to raise your hand and I'll call on you. Is there anything the Lord put on your heart to share? Would love to hear that. Make sure your microphone is green. There you go.
Hello, Donna. That was such a powerful, powerful message. I'm just emotional from it.
It's faith.
It's just amazing. I actually took time to do it. It was wonderful. So thank you for walking us through that. And actually, I did have a vision while I was listening to your
Come
beautiful
on,
voice.
I want to hear it.
Yeah, it was, well, you said still water, and so I'm thinking still water, and then I just saw Jesus standing on the water, you know, reaching out, and I kind of even listening, pulled out my hands and grabbed his hands and just held on, and it was just, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you. On that note of meditation and taking time for yourself.
Yep.
7 Days to Freedom, that's where the name comes from, really, huh, Donna? I mean, that's why we named it that. It's like, who takes time, really? I mean, we're talking about 15 minutes. We're talking a week of getting away from it all and being in just a beautiful tropical environment with you and me and other wonderful Christian, I'm going to say mostly women. We've had men join us, it seems like, at the previous events. And just really, really dig in on what God's trying to tell you about your purpose in this life. And there's just nothing more powerful. And I'm sure I've seen it. You've seen it. We've had it 3 years. This is going to be our 4th year. And I don't think there's been a person that has attended that hasn't felt that their life was forever changed for the better. And I know it is for me every time I do it in just another higher level. So, you know, the goal of that event is to really clarify your vision and direction for your life. So what a wonderful way to do that. And people just don't take the time. They just run through life.
It's going to be, it matters.
So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Looking forward to
her. Vision without that imagination, and I did a whole teaching on that last month. You've got to have a compelling vision, and I think Yolanda is here. So, Yolanda, if you just wanted to share, I think the Lord had something for you there too tonight. But how the Lord really used that, you came away with us to a quiet place, and,
yes,
and I think found the confidence to really step out into some things. Would love to hear just briefly how God used that 7 Days to Freedom in your life.
Sure, absolutely. I would have to say that
number one, probably like most people who sign up, they know there's a greater purpose, but don't know really specifically what to expect. And I don't know, you and Tamara probably remembered, were probably surprised, but I was one of the last people who could even come up with a vision to walk away with. Now, the very interesting thing about that, I was really challenged with coming up with a vision because I think I was avoiding the one thing that was actually my arrow in my hand. I actually had an unfinished project, which was my book, Go. Yep. And I just, something about that one book that even though I was working on a different vision, I really was trying to hone in on singles because it was like I had the, needed to come up with this singular thing. But I realized that it's important to have narrowed things down, but not lock yourself into it, which is what was kind of happening to me.
Well, but you, I remember, one thing was finishing that book, right?
Yes, I remembered being there and saying, okay, I will work on this singles thing. I have the vision for this other book I was writing, and I made a vision around that. But at the top of my list, before I left Fiji, which was the first day that we were there, I wrote that before I could move on to anything, I needed to finish this book, Go. And I even remembered saying, well, you know, I don't think any programs or anything would come out of this, but I just need to get this done. I just felt like I needed to get it done. The other thing, I don't know if you remember, I discovered while I was there in that atmosphere that there was a thing, there was something that was blocking me from finishing writing books. I'd started a few other books before Go, but I discovered that I was really bound by what it took place after I wrote my first book. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, you know, I was just struggling with the integrity piece because my marriage did not work after writing a book called Worth the Wait. But after I broke through that, which was the very first day we were there, and I wrote down a 90-day goal for finishing Go, and even though I had the vision for everything else, I put all of my energy and effort into writing Go, and y'all know about the health crisis I had that just wiped out all the time. And it was September 1st, and my goal to finish Go was October 1st, and I was still in recovery, but I needed to finish this thing. But I kept remembering all of the things that we did in Fiji, all of the things that we learned, and it was just like I invested in this. That atmosphere was so right, so encouraging, gave me everything that I need. I finished that book on October 1st.
Wow.
And even though I had this other thing to do, even though I had said I didn't expect anything else to come out of Go, I just needed to finish it. Everything, once I finished it, everything that I learned in Fiji began to come alive. All of a sudden, I'd gotten the courage. I was watching another Periscope, which, you know, things build upon each other. So what I got there was like a big portion of what I needed. And so everything began to spark once I finished that project that I set a goal for there. And when I got done with it, and it was in November, when I got an idea and the courage to start this free group for fasting. But out of nowhere, I got an idea to start a mentorship program. I didn't know what I was going to do, what kind of mentorship program, didn't even have a name for it. But out of nowhere, I began to tell my free fasting group which now had almost 300 people in it, about me starting this mentorship group and our mentorship program. And I was going to launch it in January. I had no vision for it. But out of my mouth came, ready, set, go. So here comes this spin off of this book that I was sparked to set this goal to finish, and here comes this thing. And everything I began to learn, I began to look at things that you do as far as setting up programs is unique in my own way and things I need to do, but it was definitely things that I learned, ideas of things that I could do. So I launched that program in January, and I was just so, because I just did not, honestly, I really did not see a lot as far as sales with it. I just knew I needed to get it done. But I ended up, I had a goal of 30 people for this mentorship program. Before I knew it, I had 40 people signed up. And the next thing I knew, I had to cap it at 50 because of what I was offering as far as one-on-one. And then I ended up getting an idea to just more pulling from more ideas, different things I heard in the mastermind group and different things that could be done, just really expanding the creativity. And before I knew it, I have about 60 people in that mentorship program right now, which is wrapping up. But out of that, this book that I said I had, it wasn't going to be anything else but this book. So from this book, I now have the mentorship program. I am in the month of May. I actually have a waiting list of people who want to be mentored by me. So I'm actually getting ready to launch Ready, Set, Go, The Journey, which is going to be a monthly subscription from it. I'm also going to be doing next year Ready, Set, Mentorship on the Go, where people are going to go away with me for a week for mentorship. And just so many other things are just coming out of that. And I now actually, the original vision that I was working on, I am actually getting the opportunity to meet a publisher from Destiny Image. So I'm going to actually be turning in a book proposal. Incredible. For.
So, but all of this started with your making the decision to come.
Making the decision. And if you remember,
from that decision, all of these other things have flowed. I mean, it's been so incredible to watch and see what God has done. We appreciate everything that you shared. I do have a couple other people I think that we're going to jump on over to. We love you. And of course, you're coming with me to Greece and Italy, and I can't wait to see you there. What an incredible, incredible testimony. I'm going to hop down and see if there are any other questions. I like to be able to pray for some people as well. And love to see your testimonies. Let me see. Oh, here she is. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. This is Rachel, and she has a topic, choices, and she's wanting to receive some prayer in that area. So, Rachel, if you could put your hand up real quickly. If you see the button where you can raise your hand, either that or you can type in the chat, just a little bit more about this. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for a couple of people. I try to do that every month. I try to pick a couple of people and pray for them. Okay, so Rachel, just very briefly, I want to be able to pray for you. So you are wanting to build a message to the world around the topic of how to make wise choices. Is that it?
That's correct. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah. Okay. Let me just go ahead and pray for you.
Thank you.
So, Lord, I thank you for Rachel. I thank you for a life of choices. We thank you for every crossroad, even at those points where she might look back and say, wow, I could have gone this way. I could have gone that way. And life would have been so completely, completely different. And it was at those pivotal crossroads moments that destiny is really shaped. And so many other things flow out of those pivotal moments. And I see a tree, and I see it's seeking water. How the branches go back down, you know, it's a tree, and then the branches are kind of coming back down, like they sense where the water is. Usually branches go up to the sky, but I'm seeing with this tree that its trees are reaching back down, like it's rooted in the water, but then the branches are so hungry for that water that they're going there as well. And so what that's telling me is that the water, that well, that living water is the critical component in the choices that we've got to be. A lot of times our choices flow out of our roots. And if the roots are bad, the fruit's going to be bad, and we're going to make bad choices. And so that constant, steady stream of the living water of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that's the key to making those ongoing choices. And I really feel that if you can show people and help them make a few steps ahead. One of the things that a lot of people struggle with is not thinking a few steps ahead. And I feel like if you were to develop a process that would help people whenever they're at a crossroads to think a few steps ahead, that you actually systematize that and say, okay, if I make this choice, this, and maybe break it into different areas, physically, what would be the impact? Relationally, what would be the impact? Spiritually, what would be the impact? Mentally, what would be the impact? And help people actually process. And I almost feel like you could do something with that idea, choices of thinking a few steps ahead. What is this going to look like? And even tying in with what I shared in last month and again this month, that idea of, okay, helping people, okay, imagine this. Let's kind of envision this. If we go with path A, what's that going to look like down the road? And really help people to imagine and mentally flesh that out. But I feel like God is going to give you, I really see a workbook for you. And I do think there's going to be a tree on the cover, you know, kind of, you know, just pray into that, like what God is showing you with leaves and branches and all that jazz. But even like mind mapping, like each leaf is a different mind map topic. I don't know if you've done mind mapping at all. Have you done mind mapping?
No, I haven't, but I can check it out.
Okay. Yeah. I think even mind mapping and something like that, I think that you're going to create a tool that's tree, that's branches, that's mind mapping, something like that, and helping people to consider all the different areas, all the different implications of the decision before they make it. And what you can do with that, that can apply to any area. You can start with like making a marriage decision or making a job decision or making a financial decision or making a career decision. And you can have like a whole brand where, you know, it just spirals into all these different, you know, it's like the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven teenager, the purpose-driven shoe store, there's no end to this. Once you've got that fundamental paradigm that you begin with, and then I think you can endlessly rework this concept. Did that help you?
That is awesome. That is really, really good. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I really feel like that was the Lord for you. Super, super. Let me see if there's someone else who I can pray over. I love to pray for people, and that's an important part of what we want to do here. Let me see. Let me scroll through real quick. Okay, here's somebody. Jill, do you want to raise up your hand? Jill says, I'm asking for prayer for my new product to help special needs birth to 3-year-old children. It's been a long journey, but when you prayed over my vision board, Donna, I got such a huge vision that gave me joy. I've been dealing with some strongholds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, Jill, do you want to raise up your hand real quick? Jill, your hand was up and then it went back down. There she is. Jill, you want to go ahead?
Yeah.
You're good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you.
And so, can you tell us just a little bit?
So, you know, you prayed over my vision board and that was so powerful. And I went in my prayer closet and I took that vision board in there and I just got such a huge revelation. And it's been a work in progress. I have a friend of mine who is coaching me right now, and she's a really strong believer and everything. But I don't know. I'm in feeling just, you know, and I listened to your message with the other group that we're in about procrastination, and because it's so huge. And I get frustrated because I don't know how the pieces are going to fall into place. And I'm not a salesy person and this and that. And so I know part of it is the enemy is really trying to attack me and tell me you can't do this.
All right. Can I pray for you?
Yes. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Here's my cane. Sometimes I just need a tiny bit.
Okay. Thank you.
So, what came to me, two words are color forms. And
okay.
That's what's coming to me for you, that there's colors and then there's color forms. And I actually see, like you said, that there's a product line and it's different shapes and different forms. And then out of learning to work with those, putting pieces together, even like puzzle pieces, or I see things that go on the floor. I remember that twisty thing, not that that'd be confusing, but I just see just different building blocks and color forms. That's what's coming for you, and that it's a toy line. Does that make sense to you?
Oh my gosh, I have the chills, and that's exactly what it is. It's a can I share this with you? So it's a toy bag. It's an educational toy bag for special needs kids, and I have everything in place. It's just
color coding.
Yeah.
Helping them use colors to understand, like they could have different colors for different areas of their life.
Okay.
You could use colors to help them understand feelings. You could use colors to help them understand their chores.
Okay.
I just think that God is going to use colors and forms. Colors and forms. And you might want to call it color forms. Color form. And it's like formation. Remember I talked about informative and formative? You should run with that. There's something there for you. Form is really something there for you. Forming character, forming habits. Just like the last gal was choices, yours is form. Forming. Forms. Colors and forms. Those two words are really important for you. And shapes. Really critical. I saw that for you. I see you successful. I see this thing happening. I see God bringing you the people who have the entrepreneurial skill to market it. I see partnerships for you. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Awesome. Let me see if there's someone else. Wanda's asking, do you need a vision before coming to the Lifestyle Freedom event? No way, girl. Come on down. We'll get you a vision. I mean, I shared, you know, can 7 days really change your life? 7 days changed my life. And I wasn't in the beautiful, you know, coastal Costa Rica. I was 7 days on the border between New Jersey and Pennsylvania on the Delaware River. I went away for 7 days right after I became a Christian. And those 7 days, I became a Christian there, actually. Those 7 days changed the course of my life. 7 days can absolutely change your life. And yes, God will meet you there and give you the vision for your life. Great question. Oh, okay, good. All right, how late are we? Oh, we're okay. Ruth has a, God's launching me this year, she says. He told me tonight, I like this, and I want to hear how he told you. He's inviting me into a storeroom filled with creative resources for prophetic jewelry. Okay, you want to share just real quickly? You want to raise up your hand? I want to pray for you, Ruth. That's really good. I like that. Ruth. Let me find Ruth. Ruth. Okay, there you are. Yep, you have to, go ahead.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
Tell me how the Lord spoke to you. I want to hear about that. And then I want to pray for you.
Just when it was, he just said that he was inviting me into his storeroom, and it was filled with lots of creative resources because my heart is to communicate his love to women in prophetic jewelry, and that I was to sew the first one of every new pendant into the life of a woman around me, which I just did a Take Courage, My Heart pendant based on Christine DeMarco's thing, and actually, without realizing I was giving it away, gave it away. But my friend has called them story pendants, because every pendant tells a chapter of his story, of his heart for women.
Nice. Okay, well, let's pray about that. Let me pray for Ruth, and I pray that you would give her a vision of your love for women. And I pray that you would give her a clear vision of every interaction, Jesus, every interaction that you had with women. Lord, as she reads through the Bible over and over again and using this same technique that we use tonight, I believe that God is really going to place you there. When I talked about that, you were, and I really feel like that was for you. And you are there with him, and just, he's going to show you. I can actually see him placing a pendant around the original biblical character, you know, as in your mind eye. And I wanted to also share with you that I actually saw in my mind's eye Jesus with Lydia, even though he didn't meet her on earth. I actually saw him by the riverbank. Yeah,
yes,
Lydia, his spirit placing a pendant on her. And I just really feel like God, Jesus is going to do that for you. You're going to kind of be there. And I think that was a really important one to hone in on, because we had to totally imagine that because it didn't happen on the pages of Scripture. I mean, we know that Paul introduced, you know, Paul, we carry Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul carries Christ to Europe and engages Lydia, you know, and carries Christ with him. And so I think that's going to be powerful for you.
2 days ago, he said, Lydia, he said, Christian, Christian women who are entrepreneurs, who have a passion for the church and a passion for excellence in business.
Beauty. Yeah.
So that is total confirmation.
Oh, Ruth, I love it. I'm so excited for you. I think you're just going to go on this totally fun, epic spiritual journey with Jesus. And I get to go next week. I will be by the riverbank where Lydia met Paul in Philippi. And I didn't know this. I've been a Christian for 40 years. And I just realized last month that Lydia was Turkish. I mean, I already knew that Paul was Turkish and Timothy was Turkish and Titus was Turkish and Philemon was Turkish. But I just realized Lydia was Turkish too. She was Turkish Jew living in living overseas in Greece. Let me see. Do I have, this is really kind of fun. I wanted to pray for maybe a couple more people. Okay. Yeah, Rachel's confirming that I just prayed over. She said the concept of process really resonates with me. Yeah, Rachel, you have a gift. You have a gift for process. And most people are like me and they don't. Yeah, let me pray for Anne. Where are we doing on time? We're doing okay. I'll wrap at 9:30. Anne shares that she's for 15 years had a dream of making movies out of her fiction stories, and she's believing for a breakthrough. Breakthrough might be happening. So, you know, for sure, Anne, there's no question God is moving in Hollywood right now. God is moving. He's moving in two places. He's moving in the West Wing. He's moving in the West Wing and he's moving in Hollywood to the two coasts. Yeah, really, really big in the West Wing right now and really big in Hollywood. And I just believe for, a revival of biblical and redemptive themes in Hollywood. And so we pray for Anne and we pray for other believers called to that mountain, that media and that arts and entertainment mountain. God, that you would empower them, that you would give them divine connections. I don't know if you know of Act One, but Google that. It was founded by a friend of mine, Barbara Nicolosi, and it's a hilarious story. She was a nun in New England, I think Connecticut, and the Mother Superior called her in like a scene from Sound of Music and said, yeah, the sisters and I really feel like you need to leave. And they're like, okay. And she prayed about it and they sent her out to Hollywood. And those nuns pray for her 24/7. And she founded Act One, which is to bring, the purpose of Act One is to train people, Christians, in how to bring redemptive themes and then to place them. And they have filled Disney and they've filled Pixar and they've totally staffed all those places with believers who've been trained and equipped on how to, you know, navigate Hollywood. It's really a powerful ministry and they do all kinds of training. She's retired now. She's founder emeritus, but, you should for sure check that out. Anne. Awesome. Shelly's saying that I prayed over her about God was giving her an anointing to create wealth. And she's moving forward for that. Let me see if there's maybe there's one more person I can pray over here. Let's see. Da-da. Oh, let me see if Ann's here. Hang on. Ann, are you here? Hey, Ann, yeah. Did you, Tamara said that you wanted to share about the work that you've been doing this year with her.
Oh, yes. It was, it has been a most amazing year. I was originally going to, can you hear me?
Perfect.
Is the microphone on?
Perfectly.
Okay. I was, signed up for Fiji, and then I had broke my collarbone the day I was to leave, and so that got canceled. But I have had contact with Tamara then in the interim time here, and I'm definitely signed up for Costa Rica.
Woo-hoo!
But it's just been an amazing time. I did not have a business mentor in my life who had actually gone before where I wanted to go, and or a real accountability partner for development of business. And so that has been wonderful to have Tamara, have her input, have her encouragement, have her wisdom, have her knowledge and everything like that. But actually, it's been these last few months that I've had some contact with Tamara. I have had significant life changes so it's been more almost like a life coach, as well as, getting things started in the business side of things as well. And I am just so excited about being in Costa Rica with both of you.
I'm going to Costa Rica. I think most of you know, I'm leaving for Costa. In 6 days I'm leaving to lead the biblical tour of in the footsteps of Paul through Greece and Italy. I'll be home for one day, and then I'm going to Costa Rica, and I'm going to be in a missionary training school for 1 month. And I'm thinking I might just stay there in Costa Rica through, July when you guys all show up. So I'll be there waiting for you. It should be really fun. Let me pray a blessing over you, Anne, and then I think we'll probably just go ahead and wrap with that. And I'll read all of your comments, all of your questions. I was looking through the thread. I'd love, and it's not too late, you guys, to type if you haven't. What did you think of the Christian meditation that I walked you through? I'd love to get some feedback on that. And did you enjoy that?
I sure did. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So Father, I bless Anne right now. I bless her in the changes. And I know she's in the midst of a lot of changes, but God, you never change. And what's the same? Her circumstances, name, all these things are changing. But Lord, your love for her, that's what stays the same. And her ability to network with people, her ability to be winsome with people and to win people over to her cause, that stays the same. The skills, the people skills that she's developed, that stays with her. And a lot of the things that you've developed through the different career paths and the different manifestations, all of that comes with you. And it just puts on a new outfit. All those gifts, talents, skills, experiences, contacts, they all stay with you. And I'm just praying for you and for all of us for really kind of that Joseph moment. I've been praying for that for myself too. That moment when you can say, aha, okay, now I get it. It's like all these different pieces. Well, I was here, running the outdoor area, and then I was inside keeping the books, and now I'm running a prison. What is this stuff? And I'm just going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for a number of people, even as I pray for myself, Lord, that there are many of us we've kind of had, we've reinvented ourselves a few different times. There's been a few different iterations in our life, and it looks like just patchwork. It doesn't seem to make much sense. We're like, we have this period of our life over here and then this period of our life over there. And not sure how we ended up at that place, but we made the best of it. And it's just all these different things. And And God, we're just asking, you know, even this year, 2018, that this would be like a Joseph year. 2018 would be a Joseph year, that it would be a come together year, a year that all these different fragments come together into a beautiful patchwork coat of many colors. And we put that on as daughters and kings of the Lord Most High, and we glorify you, and we really just celebrate with joy that sense of things coming together and really being beautiful, even though it's kind of a bit of a patchwork. It's precisely because it's patchwork and many colors and many different manifestations and many different places and many different experiences. That's really what's going to make it beautiful. And I believe that for you. Yeah. I believe that the diversity and the different things, that's actually what's going to make your life beautiful. And I hope that resonates with you. Well, we've run about an hour and a half, so I think that's, we're going to go ahead and wrap. But I want to thank everybody who raised their hand, who shared, who gave their testimony. Tamara was here. Yolanda was here. Anne was here. Those who allowed me the privilege of praying for them prophetically. Appreciate all of you so much. We love you and appreciate your membership in the Chapel Club. So we love you and God bless. We'll see you next month.